This is Sell Without Selling, Episode 4.
Hey, this is Amy Valdivia with American Financial Network. And if you want to learn the six and seven figure science to success, significantly increase your revenue, and learn how to successfully build professional relationships, you should be listening to the Sell Without Selling podcast with my good friend, Stacey O'Byrne.
If you're ready to get out of your own way to follow the seven-figure science of success, then welcome to Sell Without Selling. Tune in with renowned international speaker Stacey O'Byrne as she shows you how mastering relationships, achieving the proper mindset, and attaining the necessary motivation will catapult you away from failure and onto your journey to greatness. And now, here is your host, Stacey O'Byrne.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Sell Without Selling. I'm your host, Stacey O'Byrne, and today I'm speaking with a really good friend of mine, Amy Valdivia. Amy Valdivia is a Southern California native. That's a rarity in Southern California. She is a senior loan officer and branch manager with American Financial Network. With over 30 years of experience, she educates and guides people through the home loan process to realize the American dream. From the initial purchase to refinancing, Amy works with borrowers throughout the years. She is an FHA certified direct endorsement underwriter. Her experience from origination and loan processing through senior operations management proves her strong knowledge in multiple loan types. She's the 2019 Business Person of the Year for the Chamber of Commerce in her market and recognized as the 2019 Favorite Mortgage Lender of the Inland Valley. Amy studied at the University of California at Los Angeles and the University of London. Currently, Amy is active in her community as a member of the Chamber of Commerce and Rotary International. She has served on multiple boards for private education schools and currently serves as a board member of the San Antonio Regional Hospital Foundation. I believe that learning the art and the science of how to sell without selling is the only way to achieve high six-figure and seven-figure success. I'm so excited for you to hear today's conversation with Amy. She has so many different golden nuggets to share with you to help you achieve the success you've always desired, dreamed of, and deserve. This is going to be an awesome conversation. I'm really excited to get into it. And really quick, if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, or sales professional, and you haven't hit the level of success that you've wanted or needed, or if you're stuck and needing a pivot in your business, in your success, or you just want more, and you understand the importance of having a coach to help identify the blind spots, increase accountability, and help with success strategies to take you, your business, your income, your life, and your success to the next level. If this sounds like something for you, then head over to pivotpointadvantage.com/iwantsuccess. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/iwantsuccess. There's a quick application there that will lead to a phone call with me to see if we're a great fit for each other. Okay, enough of that. Amy, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I am ecstatic you're here. You know, I've known you for a while and I've had the pleasure of watching you achieve so many different levels of success. And it's just been so cool to watch. So tell us about your journey in the lending industry. 30 years experience. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I stumbled right into it. I was in college, of course, looking for jobs. That's what college students do, anything to make a little extra cash. And answered an ad for an office clerk slash secretarial position. Showed up to work, first day at the job, and this burly old man that I was working for in this small little strip mall in Covina said, "You know, you're a loan processor." And surprised me. I said, "I thought I was just a secretary or answering your phones or what have you." And he said, "No, if I put loan processor, none of y'all would have answered the ad." And he said, "I have to run out and I have to run some errands. So I'm going to lock you in the office." Gave me a phone number to one of the underwriters for the company that he sent a lot of business to and said, "Call her. She'll tell you what to do. Figure it out."
Wow. Wow. You've seen a lot of changes in the mortgage industry, I bet. It's been a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah.
What's one that for you was industry defining?
Really, when we saw a shift in the documentation requirements. When I got into the business, the business shifted away from requiring a lot of documentation. Mm-hmm. We truly did a lot of handshake, and people moved forward. And really, if you paid well with your bank, or you showed that you had some assets, some money in the bank, they were willing to lend really on a handshake. And we could talk to people, and we could make those relationships work for us. Mm-hmm. And then they realized, oh, we probably should be documenting some of this information. And there was a shift. And that's when we saw many companies leave the business, mm-hmm. including, you know, verifying just simple things like credit reports. Who knew? It was so, something so logical to us in this day and age was not the way we did business when I first started. It was, we could just pick up a piece of paper and we'd run with it, mm-hmm. regardless of where it came from.
Mm-hmm. So what exactly is an FHA certified direct endorsement underwriter? What is that?
In short, I'm a DE underwriter. And an underwriter is the person who actually approves and signs that loan, mm-hmm. any loan. So an underwriter at some point in the process must review all the documentation in the file and say, yes, based on what you've submitted, this loan meets the parameters for what they've asked, we will give them the funds. We will mm-hmm. lend them the money. Mm-hmm. One step further, when you start segregating the different loan types, conventional, FHA, and VA, for example, a person who's just an underwriter can't just be an FHA underwriter. They have to be specifically trained by FHA. Mm-hmm. Today, they do things a little bit differently. As long as you've received some of the training in-house by other FHA underwriters, you're allowed to get certified. However, I actually am from the old school, where we actually had to spend time with HUD in their classrooms and be trained directly from those individuals. So mm-hmm. I'm very proud of that.
That's awesome. So there's a very specific reason why I brought you on. I like to surround myself and bring experienced, successful business owners, salespeople, and entrepreneurs onto the show for our listeners so that they can extract golden nuggets. And, you know, to date, I've had several business owners on, several serial entrepreneurs on. You're the first person I've had on that falls a little bit outside of that, but tucks right up to it. Because in the mortgage industry, most lenders end up building a business within a business, right? Most lenders are 1099'd, or they're W-2'd under a 1099 pretense to accommodate state laws, right? Mm-hmm. So how is it for you to have built a career as a business person, salesperson, entrepreneur within someone else's brand?
The brand is mine.
Mm.
I work for American Financial. What does that mean? That means mm-hmm. that I use their products to help my clients.
Mm-hmm.
But as a client, when you want to purchase a home or refinance a home, you want the education. You're not just going to go on the web and read some documents and say, oh, I know how to buy a house. Oh, I know how to get a home loan. I know what to do. You need a person still to walk mm-hmm. you through that process. You can be educated. You can educate yourself on terms. You can educate yourself with information, but mm-hmm. that doesn't necessarily mean that you know how to close a loan. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to do that. And when you come to Amy Valdivia, that's my job. I often tell clients, especially new clients, that, you know, walk in with their eyes wide open, you know, deer in headlights look.
Yep.
It's my fiduciary responsibility to place you in the home loan that best suits your needs.
Nice.
So if you think about that, when you go back to jumping online and educating yourself about the home loan process, I've had many people, you may think, oh, I absolutely know I want an FHA loan, or I want a conventional loan. I want to avoid this. I want to do this. I have to have this, or why can't I go down payment? No down payment like the VA, et cetera, et cetera. It's my job to review the whole picture. And then I place you in the loan that best suits your profile, that best suits your needs. You may say you want a $2,000 house payment, but you only got $2,000 to put down.
Mm-hmm.
We have to bridge the gap. That's my job. So when you come to me, you're coming to Amy Valdivia. I happen to use the products and services of American Financial Network for my business and for my brand, but the brand is me.
So you've learned how to successfully build a business within a business and a brand identity within an existing brand identity.
Absolutely. It's cost effective. You'll see many loan officers open up their own shops and try to become their own lenders. There's something to be said for having your name on the door, I suppose. However, you now take on the expenses of HR, all the legals that come behind that, workman's comp, et cetera, on and on and on. Those other issues that businesses have to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing is I'm under a much larger umbrella, which when it comes down to my P&L, like health insurance, it's going to cost much less because we're a larger facility that insurance company is having to insure. So my little nugget, my piece, that my expense is much less than if I were on my own. Why take on that cost if I don't have to?
Nice. So I'm really curious. Having been in this industry for 30 years, and having been committed and now establishing your own branch and growing your own business within a business, what does success mean to you?
Education. When I know that I've placed those kids that have just purchased their first home and they're just gushing with excitement and they're so excited and they know how to make their house payment, when to make their house payment, oh, by the way, they have to clean out the rain gutters and they have insurance and then they're going to have a home warranty. And God forbid the dishwasher breaks the first month they move in. When I can teach them all of these things and how to leverage, the biggest for me is how to leverage their real estate to create wealth in the future. That's when I know I've been successful. When those clients come back to me over and over and over the years, that's when you know the success has been had.
That's awesome. So what exactly inspires you?
Personally, my family, my kids. I get up every day. My why is the education of my children. And many people say, well, we have great schools. Where you live, there's a great school district. It's not about the schooling. I am an advocate for private schools. However, it's not about the building that they go to on a daily basis. It's about educating the whole child. If my children know that they have to wake up every day, get out and hustle to be good quality members of society, contributing members of society, and they can take care of themselves, they can sustain in whatever arena that they want to, doing whatever they want to, that is what gets me up every single day. That's what motivates me and inspires me.
What is selling to you?
You know, I've been asked this question before, and I really struggle with the question. I don't know what selling is because I don't sell.
That's why you're on the show.
I truly educate. I really, all these years, I don't know if I know how to sell. My job is
maybe
to
you
listen.
Do.
And I do. I listen to what my clients need, what they want. I try my very best to put all of that together and present to them a package of what I'm able to accomplish. However, it's about educating. They need to know what they're walking into. That's that's the sell, is as a client, if you come to me and you say, I want a 15-year fixed rate, this is what I need, and I teach you why a 30-year might be better for you, your budget, your family, your future, and then teach you how to still pay your mortgage in 15 years, but give you the luxury of a safety net or a cushion should that day come up, that, I guess, would be my sell. That's really what I do. I educate.
So I'm curious, what does the role of congruency, authenticity, transparency, and integrity play in your successes?
Well, I believe they're all intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
If you're authentic, if you're honest, if you prove the integrity that you believe you have, and you prove that to your clients, and you carry that with you, and you walk into every transaction the same way, just automatically flows.
Mm-hmm.
When you're congruent with who you are and what you're trying to accomplish, I want to educate people. But I also said that the reason I wake up in the morning is to educate my children.
Mm-hmm.
They are watching, and they're watching what type of a business person I am, especially my daughter. For a young woman, she needs to see a strong woman, someone who's handling her business. That's something that we say in my household, handle your business, mm-hmm. handle it. When you're doing all of these things, whether it's your family, whether it's your clients, friends, they see that. And mm-hmm. you don't have to worry. There's no lie to have to back up or worry about or remember. You just do. You're able to manage your pipeline, you manage your clients much easier.
Nice. Nice. Thank you for sharing that. So many people see the end result, success, right?
Yeah.
They rarely see the journey, the struggle, the grit, the fortitude, the almost giving up. You know, I like to call it the outhouse to penthouse or the zero to hero, you know? I know that you've had some obstacles. You've overcome some big obstacles. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to talk about them because I really want our listeners to understand it doesn't matter when you start. It doesn't matter what life throws at you. It doesn't matter what happens. What matters is what you do next.
Absolutely.
So can you share a little bit about some of the obstacles life has put in front of you?
Well, let's go back to 1999. That was a major life-changing year for me.
Mm-hmm.
December 98, I got engaged. February 99, I was having brain surgery.
Hmm.
And I was successful in the mortgage industry. I had established myself in the operations side. The operations is in-house. The people inside pushing the paper, pushing the buttons, helping, supporting the loan officers. I had done well for myself.
Mm-hmm.
However, I had headaches. And they found a tumor and a cyst. So at 29 years old, I had 28 at that time. I was on going to be 29 that year. I had to look at my family and I had to let them know that my new fiance would pull the plug if I didn't make it out of surgery. And I was told that there were a few different outcomes. Obviously, I could live.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I could go blind because the tumor and the cyst where they were located, if he touched my brain while he was in this in surgery, if he touched my brain, I would go blind. Or if he touched maybe the top end of the tumor where my brain, or the tumor in my brain, something else could happen, which we didn't really even know. Or of course, I could pass. We didn't know it could be cancer, and we did not know. We had no idea. The CT and the MRI did not give us any specific information other than location. And lo and behold, we knew out of protocol that I would have life support. I would be wheeled into ICU, just that's what happens when you have brain surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. However, I came out of surgery awake without life support and waved to my family in the hallway. And then they wheeled me into ICU and I spent 4 days in the hospital and I was home. Never had any life support.
Wow.
So you need to now recover.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, plan a wedding and start a family. And by the way, you have a career to get back to.
Mm-hmm.
So you move forward. In 2017, fast forward to 2017, that was a major turn as well. I was hired by American Financial back in 2014 at working with the executive VP, working on projects. Mm-hmm. I actually was hired to write the guidelines for the company. And there was some shifting in the way we were doing business, which is very, very normal. And they really wanted me to spend time at corporate. And I wasn't willing to make the drive. I knew I wanted to be present for award ceremonies at school, things like that, mm-hmm. parent participation hours, et cetera, et cetera. And I wasn't willing to do that. I had to make a decision. And we had great discussions and we decided that I would part ways from that division and 100% focus on the other side, which was origination, which I had always dabbled in over the years anyways. It's just mm-hmm. par for the course. So I had to now shift from a beautiful salary and stable income to 100% commission.
Mm-hmm.
I had to implement everything I had trained my loan officers to do in the past. I now actually had to implement all of those applications. I had to actually follow my own rules. And boy, it's talk about a mind shift when you're not accustomed to playing the business owner mm-hmm. and you're not accustomed to hunting. That is a really big mind shift. You can teach people to do those things, but if you don't have that thick skin and your grit is very, very different because you've learned to navigate internally and make friends, win friends, mm-hmm. influence individuals internally mm-hmm. in a very different arena, that's it's just like completely starting over. So although I had this tenure in the business, although I had received all these accolades, although I knew how to close loans, I didn't know this side of the business because I didn't have it inside.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't forced to hunt. I hunted when I wanted to because it was bonus income. I always had fantastic salaries. People paid me a lot of money to simply put my name on it.
Hmm. So how did you make that transition then?
So I have a coach and I learned quickly about fear
mm-hmm.
and I learned quickly about perfection. That there's that P word
mm.
and the difference between excellence and perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been quite a journey to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you're striving for excellence as opposed to perfection, I have this imaginary doorway in my mind when I have those fearful moments. And literally, I look down at the ground at my feet, just walk through to overcome my fear. And I've had you on the phone a few times listening and I have you on my shoulder, just walk through, get over your fear.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that and I give it my best, I'm striving for excellence as opposed to the perfect picture.
Mm-hmm.
I saw great success.
Okay. So you hired a coach, and obviously I'm that coach. So since I'm sitting on your shoulder, so you hired a coach, yet you went from having work coming to you, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to lovingly say being a paper pusher, right? Work was created for you and given to you. And you had this cushy salary and really nice income to zero income, zero work being created for you. You hired a coach.
Yeah.
How did you make the transition from work being created for you to you creating your own work, success being created for you to you creating your own success? What did you do? Tell our listeners, because there's people out there who lost their jobs, you know, I mean, because of the pandemic, or they were downsized, they were furloughed, they were laid off. They're finding themselves in different circumstances now, right?
Right. Absolutely.
How does someone go from work being created to them with a cushy income to work not being created for you, having no income but what you create yourself, and now they have to learn new skills because you are operational.
Right.
And then you hop the fence and now you're operational and sales. And like you said, you never sell. Right. So you've learned the art and science of selling without selling. I'm curious, how did you learn how to hunt and farm? What did you do?
I networked.
Mm.
Literally got out and networked.
Mm-hmm.
I always, for years, I can't even count how many years, I've always been a time blocker and I've always been a scheduler.
Okay.
I function with a schedule. Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday, I leave a lot to what's going on with family. There's a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Monday through Friday, when I'm in work mode, it's a schedule. I then scheduled in 6 to 8 networking events every single week. I joined networking groups and it was a non-negotiable. I had to hunt. I had to get out there and I had to be part of networking groups / events mm-hmm. that would give me business. It took time,
mm-hmm.
but I joined Chamber. I joined Team Referral Network. I joined Rotary International. I'm now on the hospital board and I did everything I could. I actually even created my own little networking group, everything I could to meet people and tell them what I did. I spent many days out networking and followed a schedule. I'd come inside, I'd listen to an economist, which is something that I still to this day do. We subscribe to economists that help us understand what's going on in the markets.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I marketed myself. I marketed myself because I was challenged to do social media.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, I post a video every single day, 5 days a week. And I had this routine. So you know, if you look at my calendar on a daily basis, you know, there's always video and the economist.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are the very first two things I list every single day.
Yep.
Then I figure out which networkings I have to be at on what day.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that no matter what, this schedule exists over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the people get to know me, as the people see me on a regular basis, they begin to trust me and they begin to ask questions.
Yep.
I continue to educate. And then I receive the referrals.
So complete transparency, right? Because that's what we're all about. When we discussed you getting out there and networking, you fought it tooth and nail in the beginning.
Absolutely.
I mean, most people have this belief that networking doesn't work. So, so what would you tell them? Because this was a fight that you and I had multiple times.
Networking is the first thing you should do. Even if you don't have a business plan together, even if you don't know exactly what you're networking for, just network. Because you begin to meet people and instantly there's energy. When I walk away from some of those networking events, for example, the chamber breakfast once a month, huge breakfast. We have over 100 people sometimes showing up to our breakfasts, crammed in this room. It's a game. I begin meeting people, walk up to somebody and just start talking to them, introduce myself. You walk out, you're standing a little taller. There's an energy that comes. So if you don't know, you know you got to do something, you know you have to do something for a business, just network. Even if you're an employee and you really don't know how to help your company, but they, you know that you're some sort of a service person or some sort of a PR type of a person, all that means is network. The remainder will come together because you'll begin to meet people. They'll start asking you what you do and why you're there. And you quickly better come up with a good answer. And it'll force you to go back to the office and put your business plan together correctly and put your 1 minute commercial together correctly.
So I'm curious, why did you fight it so hard in the beginning? And I ask because there's people out there that are listening right now that are going, yeah, it doesn't work. Been there, done that. I know you're proof without a shadow of a doubt that it works. I've built 2 7-figure businesses from networking. I know it works. Right. So why did you fight it tooth and nail and then some?
Well, I spent a lot of time in the business. A lot of time in the business. I was in college. And since I'm only 21 now, actually, you know, it was just
it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So in my mind, I knew it all.
Okay.
I was the teacher. My business partner is someone I trained. When he started in the business, I trained him. I taught him how to do loans. There were multiple people that now I was competing with that I taught. I was the person they came to figure out how to close their loans. I was the person they came to figure out how to structure it before they could even get to closing. So how could I really need to go out and hunt? Shouldn't it just come to me? I'm the one. I'm the person that they came to. But the people out there, out in the world, they had no idea I was that person because my salespeople that I trained were out there doing their due, right? Yep. They were out there marketing themselves. They were out there doing the networking. So my turn, I had to get out there because it was make something happen or go hungry and go homeless. It was very simple. You either do or you don't. And I had to do it. So I had to walk through that imaginary doorway. I had to look down at my feet many times.
Nice. So I'm curious, why do you think most entrepreneurs, business owners, and sales professionals fail?
Fear.
Fear?
Fear.
Really? How so?
I think they are afraid to just take that step. They limit themselves. They fear what's on the other side. They have no idea. They know what they want, but they don't know for sure if they take that step that they'll get there or not. They just don't know. So they become very fearful and they stay there and they stay looking down at their toes and just can't walk through.
That's phenomenal.
There were many, many times that, going back to our conversations, and you were sitting on my shoulder and I was looking down at
figuratively, not literally.
I was standing in my office, and I will say it over and over again, looking down at my feet, saying, "This is a moment. Mm-hmm. This is a moment. Step through. You can do this."
Wow.
And doing that, having that moment with myself.
That's great advice. Thank you. So tell me about a time when a connection to someone led to a big opportunity for you.
Well, we said that I'm a DE underwriter.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in operations. I was one of the loan processors for Mike Moore. Mike Moore is no longer with us. However, I like to call myself the best processor in his branch.
Mm-hmm.
However, a couple others will say you were one of the best. There was a group of us that we all knew we were the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be an underwriter. And I submitted a loan, and I was under some pressure from the loan officer and the branch manager. And I made some pretty hefty mistakes in the submission. And the gal who was in charge of the whole FHA department at that company called him up and said, "She will never be a DE for me. She will never work for me." And he called me into his office and he said, "Okay, we have to do some work." And he said, "I know you can do this and I know you can do that, et cetera, et cetera." We went through some files and he said, "Every single time you submit a loan, I want to know. I want a phone call. I want you to tell me all about the loan so I have a verbal message. So as I'm doing my thing, I have quick notes."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I will review every single approval that you receive." We literally went on a marketing campaign for my work. Every single time an approval came out, we reviewed it. They weren't even his loans. They were his branch, other loan officers that worked for him.
Wow.
And he picked up the phone and he would call her and he'd say, "Oh, did you see? She improved on this loan. She improved on this loan." I would call her each time I sent conditions or if I had questions. "So I'm looking at this condition," and I would literally tell her what I was thinking,
mm-hmm.
and ask her for her input so she could see where my mind was going with this, as opposed to, "What did she just send me?"
Right.
No, Amy understands the content that she's reviewing. And I ended up being her number one DE. I ended up becoming a regional DE for her. Her first, she would not release the leash to anyone,
mm-hmm.
even the gals that were in the same position before me. She created the position for me, and I ended up being the DE for my region.
Mm. So you know what I'm hearing? You stepped out of your fear through that door, so to speak, to allow yourself to be seen and heard. You made it a point that you became visible so that you could go after the opportunity that you wanted instead of allowing the opportunity to come to you, which it never does. The right. early bird always gets the worm. The person who goes after it will always get it before the one who just sits there and waits for it to come to them. Is that a behavior that you have always possessed, or is that new?
Wow.
I know.
Boy, now you're really making me dig.
Yeah.
You know, I loved school
mm-hmm.
growing up, and I loved getting straight A's. I wanted to be the best.
Hmm.
I wanted to be the best student I could be. I was so into it. I absolutely loved it. Did I always go above and beyond? Yes, I really did. When it came to my studies and it came to my projects, I can honestly say I always went above and beyond. So I believe that it was in me. And then you grow up and you get a job.
Yeah.
And I got a job mode for mm-hmm. so many years. And again, I was a great student for the from those people that taught me, that I was very comfortable being the student. And I automatically received the recognition because I was the student. That didn't teach me how to hunt. That didn't, I had a voice, but I had a voice internally. I didn't have to go to the outside world. And I was okay with that. And then all of a sudden I was in a new arena where I had to go into the outside world. So I had to figure out how to show everybody outside that I was actually that really good student that always got straight A's and always did great things internally. And now you get to see me and now you get to do business with me.
So it's easy to be motivated when things are going good, right? What would you tell the listener that's listening right now where things aren't going the way they need or the way they want or the way they have to? What would you tell them if they're struggling with being motivated to pursue their dreams and their desires?
A couple things. First, dig deep. Is this really, really what you want? Because if you answer yes, dig deep. It's that grit that's in that you have internally, that internal fire, that grit. Just dig deep and do it. You will make it happen. Just
dig for what? Dig for what? What are they supposed to dig for?
That emotion that fires you up to just go one more day, to do one more task. At 10:30 at night when I'm sending my calendar to my coach. One more email, one more something. Let me just send out one more text message to somebody saying, yes, thank you very much. I did receive your documentation. Whatever that is, just one more something. And then you can go to bed at night. Just one more, because if you just do one more thing, just dig deep. That fire that's in your belly, it'll get you there.
Okay, so you said two things. Digging deep was one. What was the other?
Oh, to me, it's that grit.
The grit.
The
okay.
grit. That drive. You know, it's, I can work through it. I can work hard. I know deep down that I can find a solution. There are loans that I tell people the average incubation period for a first-time home buyer that works with me is 6 to 12 months. It's going to take you as the client a while to work through homework I give you. However, there could be a need for me to find a solution for you. I have to dig, I have to grind and turn and twist and read over and over and over again on different programs to find that loophole for you to make sure that you are placed in the loan that best suits your needs. Not what you think you need, not what I want you to need. Let's look at what you really need.
Nice. So I'm curious, what's the difference between selling and closing to you?
Well, since I don't sell, since it's an educational process, the close in my mind is simply the consummation of the transaction. The close is, you know, you see movies and you see car salesmen. I hear the close and I think of a car salesman and, oh, you know, I got them and now they're going in and I did it, and they agreed and they shook their head and now I'm walking them over to the finance department. I don't see it that way. When they smile and they call me and they say thank you because they just picked up their keys, that's the close. That's when I know I can turn around and say, so you know, this is me. I'm with you forever now. As I review your loan in a few years, or based on what we planned, or whatever that discussion was throughout the transaction, I'll be in touch. This is part of the plan. This is step one, or step two, or you know, next time when you're ready to do this, I'll be in touch. And you keep the cycle going, the client for life theory.
So for me, selling is a deployment of skill sets and focusing on that instead of the needs of the buyer. Closing is taking a need, want, and desire and marrying it to a product, service, and solution that at a minimum creates a win-win.
Right.
Ultimately, I strive for a win-win-win. It's right. Got to be a win for them. It's got to be a win for their environment before I allow it to be a win for me. So for me, that's the difference. I'm curious, you know, the name of the podcast is Sell Without Selling. And I love to ask all my guests what that means to them. So what does selling without selling mean to you?
It's that transparency. When you come to me and you ask me to work on your home loan, the conversation I'm having with you is the same conversation I have with my clients. Mm-hmm. This is who you get. There's nothing more to that. There is no sell. This is it. Mm-hmm. You want information? I will educate you. I will ask you a series of questions. I will look at your documentation. I will review your wants, your desires, and I will do everything I can to give that to you. Mm-hmm. However, there's no sell. I educate.
Nice.
I live by that. I truly do.
That's fantastic. So you said something earlier that I want to go back to real quick. It was just a few minutes ago. That one last task, that one last email, and then you referenced 10:30 at night. We all joke that an entrepreneur will work 80 hours a week to avoid a 40-hour a week job, right? There are people out there who have no desire to work any more than 30 or 40 hours a week. So that 10:30, 11 o'clock at night strategy to do that one last thing is so far outside their desire. Tell me what you think about that. Does that hinder, if they're not willing to work that long or that late, will that hinder them? What are your thoughts?
The first thing I thought of was, well, then they probably are up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, right?
Maybe.
They're getting their time in.
What if they only want to work 8 hours a day?
Then they will receive the results of 8 hours a day worth of work.
Mm-hmm. See, I have a belief. I have a belief, and I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Right.
I have a belief that we build our business around the life we want. We don't build our life around the business that we want or have, right? So I think if someone establishes they're open for business hours and is truly productive, not active, productive, they can build any dream they want within those hours. There's just a fine line between productivity and activity.
And that's where the schedule comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason why you can't be very productive as soon as you walk in the door at 8, 8:15, 8:30 in the morning at the office. And also leave at 3 because kids have to be picked up from school. And let's go grab a snack together. Let's go get dinner started. Let's go do something for that block of 2 hours. And then now it's on to the next event. Or, okay, you have an after school activity. Now I can schedule myself around having to pick you up much later.
Hmm.
There's always a way to do it as long as you're scheduling yourself.
Nice.
That, so 10:30 at night, 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. It's simply about how much more I can accomplish. Because if I can accomplish more,
mm-hmm.
and I can still have dinner with the family or still make it to the basketball game or what have you, then we've accomplished it. And that's one less thing on the task list for tomorrow morning. I can get to something else now.
Hmm. That's great advice. Thank you. You know, everybody chases time management, right? I personally believe there's no such thing as time management. There's self-management, yeah. Right? It's just resource management. And we are a resource. We all have 24 hours in a day, no matter how you slice and dice it. Right. So it's how you manage yourself and your behaviors in that 24 hours.
Right. That's right. You know, something that we've talked about is to be at cause or in effect.
Mm-hmm.
And in my industry, especially at this moment in time with COVID and the way the market has just been so erratic, we are definitely reactionary
mm-hmm.
many times throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And as I sit back and I look at my schedule daily, I'm seeing some of the same names come up over and over again, client names. I'm realizing this is just something that, you know, we have to be in effect.
Mm-hmm.
We have to respond because this person now has something else going on in their loan. This is something that none of us can control.
Mm-hmm.
However, if I know where I'm coming from and why I'm doing this, it allows me to manage my schedule better because I can say, you came to me just kicking ideas around, don't really even know if you want to do a loan with me. Okay, now I know where to put you. But this person who wants a loan today, who needs a loan today for other purposes, obviously they're the priority. And then I'm able to manage it a little bit better.
That's awesome. I like that. Thank you. So welcome to the random round.
Uh-oh.
The random round is where, you know, I have a belief that success leaves clues, right? And our listeners are pursuing success. They want to learn how to sell without selling. And for me, success and sales are synonymous. I say it time and time again. You have to sell without selling in order to be successful. And in order to be able to sell without selling, you have to have a successful mindset. So for me, the two are very synonymous. And for that reason, I just like to ask a random question so that our listeners can extract habits or thoughts or processes from our interviewers.
Okay.
That way they can take pieces and add it to their life if it adds value and helps them create what it is you've created. So I'm curious, what is your favorite word and why?
My favorite word.
Should I be scared?
Can I say it out loud now? Is this for public use?
This is for public use, yes.
Okay, well, we're going to reel that in then. My favorite word, love.
Love. Wow, why?
Because if you come with love, it all falls into place.
I love it.
I genuinely walk in. I have learned, it's taken a while, but I've learned that when I come with love in my heart and I just want to give love, my way of giving love is through my education.
Nice.
Then the remainder will fall in place.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So Amy, it's been a really awesome conversation. I so appreciate you coming on the show. Before we head out, how would be the best way for our listeners to get a hold of you if they wanted to connect with you?
Online, of course, they are able to find me on
where?
Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube, Amy Valdivia.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to call me, they can call me at 626-485-4673.
Mm-hmm.
My email address, avaldivia@afncorp.com.
Can you say that again?
avaldivia@afncorp.com. American Financial Network Corp.com.
That's awesome. So if you're listening right now and you want to connect with Amy, she just gave you the best ways to connect with her. I really appreciate you coming on the show, Amy. Thanks so much. And I seriously had a fantastic time chatting with
you. Thank you very, very much. It was a blast. The pocket questions, boy, that was a big one. Random round, I should say.
Your success is important to me, and it's important to me to make sure these episodes are valuable to you. I would love for you to do two things right now. Okay. First, I would love for you to head over to Facebook to join our Sell Without Selling community. That's head over to Facebook right now and join our Sell Without Selling community. And second, I would love to chat with you, get feedback on the episodes, and find out any topics that you're interested in to help make this more powerful and helpful to you in achieving the success that you've always dreamed of, desired, and deserve. Head over to pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy, and let's get a 15-minute call on the schedule. Always remember, choice is a powerful thing and suffering is always optional. Get out of your way so that you can have your way, so that you can finally always create your way. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to talking with you soon.
Whether it's mastering your mindset, communication, or success, we have more ways to keep you on your journey to greatness. Be sure to visit us at pivotpointadvantage.com for exclusive online training programs, success-specific courses, and more ways to connect to Stacy directly to help you achieve the financial success you've always desired, dreamed, and deserved. That's all available on pivotpointadvantage.com.